This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of power coming up here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Liddell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot to talk about before we get out of here. Talk a little Wizards, get back into the Commanders. Maybe even I'll mention the red-hot Washington Capitals as well before we get out of here. Major League Baseball playoffs still going on. The World Series. Shohei Ohtani and our guy Aaron Judge not hitting the ball too well. Saw a tweet that came up. I don't have the game on here in studio, but I read this tweet and went, woof. Judge and Ohtani tonight threw three innings, 0 for 4, three strikeouts. Just how we all drew it up. Going out right now to the BetQL guest hotline is where we find our pal Chase Hughes, who was out at Cap One Arena last night for the Washington Wizards season opening loss against the Boston Celtics, 122-102. You can give Chase a follow at Chase DC Sports. Chase, what's going on, my man?
Not much, man. Watching the World Series, and I'm excited for this matchup, but so far the most exciting thing I've seen has been probably the Soto shuffle.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, it has been a little dry to start here. Wasn't dry out at Cap One Arena last night. How was the environment, first and foremost, Chase, for a season opener for the Wiz?
Well, I mean, the season opener, no matter how, the expectations are, it's usually a good crowd, and they were playing Boston. Celtics fans tend to travel really well.
Yeah.
And, the Wizards were competitive early on, so I think it was a pretty good environment. Probably more energy in the building than you would get if they played in, like, February or something. But, obviously Boston was able to run away with it because they are the defending champs, and yeah, the Wizards are a young team experiencing some growing pains.
Jordan Poole, 17 first quarter points last night. How much more comfortable did he look starting the season on the ball, Chase?
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good. He had six threes in the first half that tied a career high for a single half. And it's not like I was completely surprised in seeing that, but it was interesting to me because, we've talked so much about how last year he was a different player after the All-Star break once he became the point guard and played on the ball. But what I've been trying to tell people is that, he's making another adjustment this year too. The Wizards are trying to go away from the traditional primary point guard role and have multiple initiators. So I was wondering, we saw the adjustment last year. Would there be a similar process this season? But he looked very comfortable, very confident. And, though the Wizards, their offense overall, it wasn't a great night for their offense. I saw some encouraging signs from the offense that they're trying to run, because Jordan Poole looked comfortable, and I thought Bilal Coulibaly looked really good in that system too.
Yeah, Bilal Coulibaly, looking at the box score, first thing that jumps out to me is Bilal, your leading assist guy last night, six helpers for Bilal. How have you seen his game expand? I know you would have liked it to be a little bit more aggressive last night from the perimeter, but overall, what did you see from Bilal in the opener? And, what are your expectations, I guess, for him in year number two?
Well, we saw him play three preseason games and then obviously last night in his debut, so it's still a really small sample size, but he looks more confident and assertive, and I think his ball handling is noticeably better. You know, he worked on that a lot this offseason. He's trying to become a more efficient dribbler, have a tighter handle, and I've really seen that. And, you know, in transition, he's doing a really good job pushing the pace, keeping his head up, finding his teammates. You mentioned the six assists. And, you know, what's really stood out to me just in the four games in sort of the big picture is that, you know, he grew an inch over the past calendar year. He's now 6'7" without shoes, 6'9" on the court. He also gained 10 pounds of muscle. And with that has seemed to come a lot of confidence. He just looks more aggressive on the court. He looks like someone who knows he's one of the most athletic players in any NBA game he steps into. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out over time. Certainly he'll want to shoot the ball better from the outside and score more points than he did last night. But I think you're starting to see, you know, the athleticism that the Wizards really projected with him when they drafted him last year.
Yeah, I agree. It's been fun to watch, you know, from being around him a lot on a day-to-day basis. The personality of that young man oozes, you know, and is contagious. He's always got a smile on his face, positive mentality. So to see his confidence grow, it's going to be fun to watch him evolve as a personality here in D.C., as well. One thing I was monitoring going into last night, and it's been a huge debate on Wizards Twitter. Take that for what you want. What starting five, Chase, they were going to actually go with? Bub Carrington getting the start next to Jordan Poole, quote unquote, in the quote unquote backcourt. What did you make of that decision? And also, what did you make of the decision of them to go with Alex Saar at the five, instead of Jonas Valanciunas?
Yeah, the most surprising thing to me was Valanciunas coming off the bench. I mean, we saw that in the preseason, but this is a guy who, you know, I looked it up before the season. I think it's over the last 4 years, had only been a bench player in four games. You know, he started like 90-something percent of the games over the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, he usually plays a lot of games, too. He played all 82 last year. So he's used to being a starter. And last year, he was the starter on a good team in New Orleans. And then he comes to a rebuilding Wizards team. I thought he'd be the starter, but we'll have to see what their lineup looks like tomorrow night, because I think it's possible that it was just a product of them playing the Boston Celtics and, you know, the Celtics playing with a five-out offense and, you know, Saar being a better fit defensively for that. And I do think, you know, first of all, they're going to play Cleveland tomorrow night. That's a big team. I could see why they'd want some size with Valanciunas, but I think it's also something to expect moving forward for them to have different lineups pretty much every night. I don't think there's going to be a rubber stamp lineup where veterans are used to roles, and that's just what they play no matter how well they're playing or no matter who they're matching up against. I think the Wizards are trying to create an environment under head coach Brian Keefe where, you know, there's no set in stone roles, where it depends on who's playing well, who's playing hard, who's defending, and also matchups from night to night. So I would not be surprised to see a very different starting five tomorrow night, although I will say in that same vein that Jordan Poole is probably pretty safe as the starting point guard. I don't think that's going to switch up. And I think Kyle Kuzma is probably pretty safe in the starting lineup as well. And also, we have not seen Saar come off the bench so far, so I think they like what he brings to the table defensively. And then, of course, Bilal Coulibaly, you know, he's been impressive so far, so he might end up being one of the key players on this team. So, you know, and plus his switchability, his versatility, those types of players on the roster are probably going to, you know, be elevated simply because of that.
We're joined right now by Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network. Give him a follow on the X app at Chase DC Sports. Chase, a couple more for you here, Chase, before we let you go. With Washington, I keep saying it, I don't care about wins and losses this year. The way I'm gauging this group is off a couple of things. One, I want to see them play hard night in and night out. That was an issue, in my opinion, last year. No matter who the opponent is, you got to come out and hustle and play with, you know, pride, no matter what type of year this is going to be. Establishing that culture and that identity of what Wizards basketball is, to me, is the most, you know, important, you know, measure of success, in my opinion. When you look at this group, how are you judging success for the Washington Wizards this year?
I'm going to be focusing on defense more than anything this year. There's a few specific categories. Like, for instance, last year, they gave up the most points and allowed the highest shooting percentage in the restricted area. So I think rim protection is going to be very key. Also, defensive rebounding. They were the worst defensive rebounding team last year, and it just really derailed their defense overall. But I think they're really trying to lay a defensive foundation. So last year they were 28th in defensive rating. I'm going to watch that number this year and see if they can get into the top 20, because Will Dawkins has said it himself that Bilal Coulibaly was a defensive pick. Alex Saar was a defensive pick. Like, they really want to focus on, I think, defense first. They would love to be like, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder, where Will Dawkins came from. Throughout their rebuild, they leveled up pretty much equally on offense and defense every step of the way. But I think they know, Will Dawkins and Michael Winger, they know you have to have a good defense to go on deep playoff runs. So they want to focus on that first and foremost. And Alex Saar, you know, I think he's going to be a big part of what they do this year. And he's much further along defensively than he is offensively. And I think you could say the same thing about Bilal Coulibaly. So I think they have more pieces to put together. I think they can make more progress defensively than they can make offensively this year. So that's what I'm going to judge them by, is can they, you know, make a big leap defensively? Because I think if they can, that'll bode really well for their future.
Chase Hughes, ladies and gentlemen. Chase, I appreciate you giving us some time, my man. We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
That is Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network, one of the absolute best, talking all things Washington Wizards. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Chase DC Sports. Yeah, defense paramount for the Washington Wizards this year. I was having this argument the other day with Chris Russell. He thinks the Wizards can improve defensively as well. There's a way that they can improve defensively and still not win many games. And I think that is the reality of this situation, which is why I'm so hell-bent on, hey, say what you want about their record. The eye test, in my opinion at least, going to be much more impactful in terms of how I gauge what they're doing. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener line. Taking a break. When we come back, we'll get back into the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels and his rib injury, the big talk of the town. Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Washington Commanders, gave an update on Jaden Daniels' ribs earlier. Well, let's hear from him coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One 800 636 1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. Before we get out of here, I want to let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, giving his thoughts and updates on Jaden Daniels and the injured rib that he is dealing with, putting his status for Sunday very much in doubt. This was Dan Quinn earlier today on Daniel's status as of today.
Jaden was able to practice today. We followed the plan, really, that we set at the start of the week. And for you guys, think of like crawl, walk, run, like we do with a lot of guys, you know, on the return back from injury. So Wednesday into that first piece, Thursday on the walk piece to go, and then Friday to get the run. And we will assess how he responds to the work that we did, you know, over the next 48 hours. But we really pushed it today. And playing quarterback, the movements, the skills, and also specific to the game plan, you know, going through the whole thing, you know, all parts of the field. So we're really following that process, and we'll let our eyes decide how he responds over the next 48 hours. That'll guide us, and we'll make the best decision for him and for the team. And if he can't go, certainly we have all the confidence in Marcus. It was a good week, and we stayed true to the process for Jaden of what we were going to do from Wednesday to Thursday. And then we really wanted to push him today to see where he would be, and then let's see what the next, you know, how he responds to that kind of push to go. But it was a good day.
Yeah, Dan Quinn doesn't seem too concerned about whether he plays or not. And I think that's probably the mentality we all should take. If he doesn't play, fine. If he does play, fine. But either way, I don't think whether he plays or not, I don't think it changes much the outcome of Sunday. I continue to feel that way. I never thought Sunday was going to be about the quarterback. Sunday is about whether or not you can stop Chicago offensively. Bottom line. That just is what it is. Dan Quinn earlier today on if Jaden Daniels worked on the practice field today with the team.
Yeah, we did some extra like strength and conditioning core work into that time. So we just wanted to make sure everything timed up so he could hit all the team portions together with everybody. So, yeah, it was just by design to get some more core and strength work prior to the big throw-in sessions.
And then was he able to work in the bubble too?
Yes.
And what were the just normal pre-practice routine stuff there?
Yeah, like all the guys go through a similar process to go, but we wanted to work through some skills specific to, you know, the game plan. And so that's, you know, why we did that one. But yeah, all four of the guys kind of worked through the same stuff.
Yeah, I don't think him practicing, in my opinion, was much of a debate. You think you had to try and practice him before Sunday? I continue to feel like tomorrow is another massive step. How does he feel after pushing it today? Do they allow him to throw more Saturday? And the bottom line is if there's any discomfort, I'm not playing him. I don't think there's much of a conversation about that. If there's any ounce of discomfort with Jaden Daniels, I don't think he should play. If there's limitations in practice, though, you can bet that there would probably be limitations in the game. Dan Quinn earlier today on if there were any limitations today.
No, just the opposite, in fact, Nikki. Okay. We really wanted to push it today. And so that's why I think it's important, because you have to push it in all the, not just, you know, the quarterback specific things, but also within the game plan. So we really pushed it today. And so that's what really the next, you know, day and a half will be about. See how he responds. Cause you have to do that. And that was kind of part of the plan to get in through Wednesday, Thursday, as many of the walkthrough reps as you can, which is, you know, considerable amount, but you have to push it to see where you're at. So that's what today was about.
I agree. I don't know whether I care about him being limited for today. The fact that he tried, I think it's the most important thing. And tomorrow, I believe it's by 4:20, they have to have their practice squad elevation announced, if there will be any. If Sam Hartman's elevated, probably won't play. Sam Hartman's not elevated, probably will play. I think it's that simple. But to me, I don't know. I would have went about it differently. He wouldn't have thrown until tomorrow if it was for me. Because if he is not sore tomorrow, it's fine. You get more treatment. Then you throw him out there on Sunday, and there's soreness and there's discomfort. I don't want a situation where I've got to pull him out of the game. If he's going to play, play. If he's not, not. Because I don't think it's that severe of an injury to where it's going to keep him out long. So let him get right before it becomes something that you're monitoring throughout the rest of the year. And I continue to say, like, that's not what anybody involved with this wants. This is supposed to be short term, so keep it short term. But I understand the desire of Jaden to play. And I thought when we played the media scrum earlier, it was very clear about, hey, I'm not going to put myself in harm's way. That's what I love about Jaden. He's the most respectful liar in the world. Jaden wants to play 1,000%. If there's any chance of Jaden being close to playing, I think he pushes himself and allows himself to play. That just is what it is. Dan Quinn ultimately is the final decision maker on whether or not Jaden Daniels starts on Sunday. DQ earlier on what he needs to see to allow Jaden to go Sunday.
I think the response to say that you're feeling good, you know, like that you're not in pain to do that. So it's like, how does your body respond from really getting pushed to go? And so I would say that's what we need to see. The testing is ongoing to get to that spot, but it was a good day.
We'll see. I don't trust anything they've said because I continue to feel like they're playing the Belichickian role. That's what Adam Peters knows. That's what Adam Peters comes from. And I had to listen to Chris Russell earlier this week yell and scream about how he's upset and angry that they're not being transparent about his injury. Industry plants, they'll never understand. I like it, though. While I have no clue what's going to happen, I like that they're moving this way. I think it's a stark contrast from regimes of the past where all of your laundry was aired out on Front Street. They're being close to the vest. And I would even say for injuries as a whole with this group, they're being conservative. And that's fine because when you play the brand of football that Washington plays, playing violently, arriving violently, whacking people, you want to make sure your guys are able to play with that same intensity and play style when it gets to late November, mid-December, early January. You don't want to gas out. You want to flame out from an adrenaline standpoint, from a play style standpoint. And I think that is their overall thought process when it comes to stuff like this. Err on the side of caution. Fine. I agree with it. I just wonder how different our thoughts of Jaden Daniels' injury would be if there was no Robert. If Robert never existed, do we look at this injury differently? I'd have to think it's the case. I don't know, though. Either way, whether he plays or not, I think Washington falls to 5-3 Sunday. I think Washington can still feel good about themselves after dropping to 5-3, but I think they're playing a better football team on Sunday than they are. And I know that pains people, but it's the fact of the matter. No Jaquan Brisker for Chicago, no Kyler Gordon. So, yeah, it's maybe easier for you in the passing game. But there's one injury for Washington outside of Jaden Daniels that we haven't discussed. A starter offensively ruled out. We'll tell you who that is coming up next on The Fan. Jaden Daniels' rib injury is the major injury Washington has been monitoring all week long. And they'll continue to monitor it going up to Sunday, or leading up to Sunday. I think it goes right up to kickoff in terms of whether or not Jaden Daniels plays or not. But there's another injury to another starter on Washington offensively. And I think in Sunday's game, this injury in particular may be more impactful than Jaden Daniels. As I've continued to say, whether Jaden Daniels played or not, to me the most important thing Sunday for Washington is to establish balance offensively, right? Stay ahead of the chains. Don't put yourselves in obvious passing situations. Best way to do that is by running the football. You can do it other ways as well. Screen game, quick game. But I think from an identity standpoint, running the football is the best way for Washington to get up on Chicago and to control time of possession. It's going to be hard to run the football, or more difficult, rather, to run the football without Brandon Coleman in the lineup. He's been ruled out with a concussion. And Brandon Coleman, through his first 6 weeks, through his first 7 weeks, rather, number one, amongst all qualified offensive tackles when it comes to run blocking. So for a group that's had all the success they've had in the run game, for a bevy of different reasons. It's being coached up well, players executing well, running backs running with good vision. Not having Brandon Coleman, I think, is not being talked about enough. In a game against Chicago, where you've got to deal with a premier edge rusher at this point, we're going to call him, a premier edge rusher in Montez Sweat, not having your left tackle hurts you severely. And they've got a couple of different guys on the edge that can get after you. Daryl Taylor came over from Seattle last year. He can get after you on the edge. Austin Booker, their fifth-round pick from this past year out of Kansas, who, for my money, no way in hell he should have fell to the second round. Well, the fifth round, rather. But that's just the way, you know, the cards were dealt. But they have a bunch of different guys they can throw at you from a pass-rushing standpoint. And I think not having Brandon Coleman is huge, but I think it's more important not having him in the run game for the reasons I just mentioned. So while we're spending all of our time worried about Jaden Daniels, do we worry about Cornelius Lucas at all? Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman have split the snaps 50-50. Now, obviously, it's hard to do that in some games. There's 51-49, 49-51, you name it. But they have rotated each possession in each series throughout the first seven games. How does Cornelius Lucas handle playing full-time snaps on Sunday? I worry about that. Like that is a genuine concern for me. Because we know Cornelius Lucas, right, has been really good for Washington over the years. In doses, right? That's the key. Cornelius Lucas is good. Cornelius Lucas is serviceable, but he has been that in doses. Sunday, there is no dose. It's all Lucas all the time. I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see it. I personally think that Brandon Coleman's impact and not having him is going to be felt more than Jaden Daniels. Because I think what Brandon Coleman has done in the run game this year has been spectacular. The other part of Brandon Coleman not playing, and I'm not trying to be a jerk when I say this, away from seeing Trent Scott at tackle. And while everyone feels good about Trent Scott because he caught the touchdown versus Cincy and did the cool beta kappa theta dance, all that was fine. Trent Scott's not a good football player. He's not. So if you've got to play him, you're in trouble. As good as Washington's offensive line has been this year, they don't have depth. That's been a concern since the summer. I think the bigger concern was with the starting five. My bigger concern has always been with the depth. They can't afford to get hurt up front. They can't. And if there was an area where they could afford to get hurt, it'd be on the interior because you got a couple of guys that can play center as well. Like Nick Allegretti can play center. Mike Dieter, you have a backup center that I trust, veteran. At tackle, your depth is not good. What I'm curious to see is what's the corresponding move? Who gets elevated off the practice squad to come play tackle? Seriously. Like, that to me matters. Especially for a team like Washington. Like, they play with the extra offensive lineman quite a bit. You know what I think it may be? Wow. Huh. Do we see Aneem Dankwa this week? Local cat. Played his ball at Howard. Was an All-American at left tackle. 6'7", 362. Birthday just passed this week. What a birthday present it would be for Aneem Dankwa if he's active for his first NFL game on Sunday. I think that's the corresponding move. Because they're going to have to elevate somebody at tackle. Because you can't just go into this game thinking, oh, Trent Scott or nothing. You'd be asked out if that was the case. So do we get to see Aneem Dankwa? That intrigues me. I think the bigger piece of this is you're going to miss Brandon Coleman a lot. And his impact in the run game, I don't think is probably talked about enough. I gave you the metrics. The best run-blocking tackle in the National Football League as a rookie through the first 7 weeks. But the more and more I think about Aneem Dankwa, 6'7", 362, a man's man, when would we get to see Aneem Dankwa? Only in an injury situation. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe, Aneem Dankwa can unseat Trent Scott as the third tackle or the fourth tackle. Maybe that's the case. Because I look at 6'7", 362. Those don't grow on trees. Those are not something you find on the top shelf at the grocery store. That's a special physical human being. He's got special traits physically. And after being coached up for the past couple of weeks, 5-6 weeks, he's been on the practice squad, I want to see how he looks in game action. Now, if we have to see Aneem Dankwa, it's probably a bad situation, right? Because even if they bring on the extra tackle, it's Trent Scott. So we'll see ultimately if he even gets called up. But that's one of the unheralded storylines I'm looking forward to heading into Sunday. But all in all, I think, as we've said all along, it's about running the football. It's about having balance. It's about staying ahead of the chains. And then defensively, you got to make Chicago one-dimensional. You can't let DeAndre Swift kill you. And I know it's not just DeAndre Swift, but I disagree. I think it's been a lot of DeAndre Swift. In the screen game, as a traditional back, he has been a man on a mission the past 3 weeks, dating back to the win against the LA Rams. They've won three in a row. In each of those three contests, it's been a heavy dose of DeAndre Swift as a runner and as a pass catcher. How does Washington fare? It is a matchup of strength on weakness. Chicago running the football this year, and at least in the last 3 weeks, have been one of the best teams on the ground in the NFL the past 3 weeks. And I know matchup, it has something to do with it. You took on the Panthers and the Jags. Rams are a decent run defense, as you saw last night. But I wonder, is this the week Washington figures it out as a run defense? Some people are going to say, well, they figured it out last week. You held Carolina to 180 yards offensively. It's Carolina. The biggest issue Washington's had in the run game is getting displaced by these double teams. I'm glad my guy finally got some credit at the podium this week, Fildarian Mathis. I've said it dating back to week 3. He is the best defensive tackle on this roster relative to taking on double teams and playing big and not getting moved off of his spot. That has been the major issue for Washington on the ground. That is why right? They have given up the second most rushes of 10 or more yards because teams are double teaming on the interior and they can't keep Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner clean. That's the difference. So I'll be real. I think more Phil Mathis means the run defense improves because he is the best at beating double teams, in my opinion, not getting displaced by double teams. Chicago's going to run it right at you Sunday. They watch the tape. They understand your weaknesses. How does Washington respond? Because it feels like the last couple of weeks, really dating back to Carolina, that opening drive, they ran the football with success. But Washington was able to jump out to a lead based off of the defense getting some turnovers, and it discouraged them from continuing to run the football. Well, Chicago's going to stick with it by hook or by crook. Will Washington be able to go blow for blow up front with Chicago for 60 minutes? That's the question. Couldn't do it with Baltimore. The dam eventually bust. Couldn't do it with the Bucs. The dam eventually busts. Is this the week? Is this the week you get your signature win? Arizona ran the ball well on you, but you jumped out to a lead. They couldn't stick with it. Can you stop the run this week? It's been the question all year long for Washington. If they want to get their first signature win of the season, it starts up front, stopping the run Sunday against the Chicago Bears. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, key commanders, three guys that must step up in order for Washington to win Sunday against Chicago. That's next. One final weekday program before the Commanders look to move to 6-2 Sunday against the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams coming back to town. Bears shorthanded, no Jaquan Brisker, no Kyler Gordon. Washington shorthanded, no Brandon Coleman. Potentially no Jaden Daniels. Dorrance Armstrong listed as questionable. Well, something's got to give. Something's got to give. We've pretty much told you throughout the show different keys to Washington winning. I think they got to have balance offensively. I think they can't get into third and longs. I think they got to bleed this game out and dominate the time of possession. Keep Caleb and the Bears on the sideline. I think Chicago's probably thinking the same thing. I think defensively, it's about trying to confuse Caleb Williams. We've seen defensive coordinators do it several different times this year. We saw the Texans do a really nice job confusing Caleb Williams. We saw the Titans do a really nice job confusing Caleb Williams. I think it's Washington's turn. For a defense that feels like they're starting to turn a corner, for a defense that's playing fast, hitting people, arriving violently, dare I say it. I think this is the opportunity or a big opportunity for them to show that, hey, we have turned things around, and it's not just because we played the Panthers and the Browns. That's what's at stake for the defense. So when I look at this thing big picture, we know our keys to victory, but who are our key commanders? Three guys that must step up in order for Washington to have a victory on Sunday and move to 6-2 on the year. Three guys. One guy that you can't do this list without. Marcus Mariota last week, and someone tweeted something reckless at me saying, what do you mean? He was in mop-up duty last week. It was mop-up duty last week. When Marcus Mariota entered a football game last week, the game was over already. As soon as Andy Dalton threw that second pick to Emmanuel Forbes, the Panthers quit. The game was over. So, yes, I'm calling Marcus Mariota's time last week mop-up duty. I am. How does he fare against a game-plan defense? He must play well. He can't hold on to the football. He's got to throw with accuracy. He's got to throw with touch. There can't be some significant drop-off between him and Jaden Daniels. There can't be. Because as important as Brian Robinson has been to this thing, I think Jaden Daniels is just as important. He is the straw that stirs the drink offensively. He has had one superstar play each and every Sunday this year that has impacted winning and losing. Against the Giants in the second half, it's him taking shots on the chin, throwing with anticipation, jump-starting the offense, right? That was the story against New York. Against Carolina, it's the 46-yard run. Against Cleveland, it's the throw on the run to Terry McLaurin for 66. Against Baltimore, it's the two touchdowns to Terry, the back shoulder, where he puts it where only Terry can get it. The first touchdown, where he manipulates the defense with his eyes. There is superstar stuff from this kid every single week. The question remains, right? How do they fare without the superstar stuff? Can they muster up enough to fare well without the superstar stuff from Jaden Daniels? And I think it's on Marcus Mariota to do his best, not to try to be a hero, but to do what is asked of him. Because I'll continue to say, not to discredit Jaden, Cliff's offense has been the most quarterback-friendly offense in the NFL through the first 7 weeks. It just has been. So Marcus Mariota, my first key commander. My second key commander, a guy that played out of his mind last week, Dante Fowler. They need a pass rush. They got to get after Caleb Williams. Best way to do that is by rushing the passer. My last key commander isn't even a player. He's a coach, Joe Witt Jr. You have to devise a game plan that can confuse the hell out of Caleb Williams. If you do that, if you can apply pressure, I think Washington has a very, very good opportunity. Final prediction for me. We have to wait till Sunday. Burgundy and Gold game day to hear that. It's presented by Root. That's going to do it here for this Friday night edition of Overtime. Thank you to Vic behind the glass. Thank you to Chase Hughes. Thank you to David Harrison, and thank you for your calls. Tech Talk Live comes up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.